Now, back to the Pete McMurray Show. Here's Pete and Lisa.
I know what you're thinking, punk. You're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself in all this excitement. But being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
God, I love it so much. From Dirty Harry to Every Which Way But Loose to Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood has played some of the most memorable characters in movie history. Sean Levy is the author of Clint, the first major biography of Clint Eastwood in over 20 years. And Lisa and women listening right now are saying, why, Sean? Why? We don't get it.
No.
Sean, I love that scene. I could listen to Clint all day, man. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Man, Clint is just a guy's guy, isn't he? He's a tough guy, just doesn't care. We all want to be Clint.
It's interesting. If you look at Dirty Harry Callahan, I don't know if I'd want to be that guy. There's some damage there. And, you know, he takes it out on other people. I've raised my sons a little better than that.
Thank you. I am thanking you on behalf of mankind.
Sean, you probably know the answer to this question. Let me ask Lisa. How old is Clint Eastwood right now? How old? What do you think?
97.
95. And still kicking it, man. Wow.
I mean, didn't he just release a movie like last year?
It's crazy how this guy keeps working, right?
Yeah, that's the essential fact of him. He makes movies. He's got a 70-year acting career and a 50-year directing career. It's like John Wayne was also John Ford or Tom Cruise was also Spielberg. It's insane.
Gosh,
yeah, when you put it like that, it really does make it seem more impressive. Because in our minds, you know, he's just been there. He's just an icon. And like, yeah, of course he's going to make a movie. But no, it's actually extremely hard to be on both sides of the camera.
Right. And he acted in a film of his own just 4 years ago. There's no way to prove this, but I believe he's the oldest person ever given the reins of a Hollywood studio production. 94-year-old director. They're few and far between.
We're familiar with his acting work. Let me go through some of his directing work. How about Unforgiven? 1992 won Best Picture, Best Director Oscars. Million Dollar Baby won Best Picture, Best Director Oscars. Mystic River won 2 acting Oscars. American Sniper. I forgot that he did this movie.
That was
huge box office success. American Sniper, that was Best Picture, right?
It was nominated. I think that was in the expanded field of 10 films, but it was his highest grossing film in his career, even in adjusted dollars. You know, it made like $500 million in the North American release. It was a massive hit.
Gran Torino directed that movie, starred in it. Mm-hmm. Sully, Tom Hanks, directed that movie. The Bridges of Madison County also starred with Meryl Streep, so we had kissing scenes with Meryl also directing her. Meryl, let's do that kissing scene again. Let's retake it.
But this is the thing. Clint is able to work fast because he uses first takes so often.
Really?
Another essential fact of him is he is a lifelong jazz fan, and he loves the unrehearsed sort of improvisational quality of early scenes. And Meryl loved working with him because she could give it all in the first or second take because she knew they weren't going to do 20 takes. And actors love him. You know, he's won Oscars for Gene Hackman, Hilary Swank, Tim Robbins, Sean Penn, Morgan Freeman. People work with him again and again because it's such a joy to work on a set where you're not being tortured with retakes all day.
Right. And you know that the movie's going to wrap very quickly because you're only doing 1 and 2 takes.
Right. There's a great story during Unforgiven. Clint used to fly his own helicopter and he was giving the actor Richard Harris a ride. And Richard Harris looks at his watch and says, oh, no, we have to get down. I'm late for my scene. Clint said, how late can you be? You're up here with the director.
How hard was it to encapsulate an entire lifetime into a book? Because already we're saying so much and we're not even scratching the tip of the iceberg.
Right. It is hard because, you know, there are so many movies. There's a political life. He was mayor of Carmel. He has famously spoken at Republican conventions. He's also been appointed by a Democratic governor for land conservancy issues in California, which is a big interest of his. And 8 children and 2 marriages and, you know, all the things that go into a life. It's daunting to get it all down. I keep it, you know, so that people can lift the book in their hands.
I totally forgot that he was mayor of Carmel. He also did something at the Republican, was it the Republican National Convention with the empty chair? Was that right?
Yes, it was Mitt Romney's convention, and he was the last speaker prior to Romney's
acceptance. Yeah.
And they didn't ask him what he was going to do, and they didn't tell him you only have 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So he dawdled up there for like 12 minutes and pretended to talk to Barack Obama as represented by an empty chair. I remember in the heat of the battle thinking, this is outrageous, this is outrageous. But if you look at it on YouTube, he goes a long time before he mentions Mitt Romney, and the Romney camp were not happy with the speech. It was almost like an improv acting exercise. Talk to the chair and pretend it's answering you. It's very strange.
Well, and it came off very weird, and that could have just been enough to kill a normal person's career, and yet here he is still working.
Yeah, you know, he is really sort of invincible when it comes to, you know, there was a period of time where his movies, theatrical and home, you know, media release and streaming, well, it's cable before streaming, was about 20% of Warner Brothers' annual gross.
Whoa.
Just one guy.
Jeez, man.
So, yeah, it's tough to kill a guy who's like holding a whole company up in his hand.
That is crazy.
He's an entire leg on the table.
The book is called Clint. Sean Levy is our guest. Clint is known for playing these tough, quiet characters. Is he like that in real life?
He is. He's essentially a shy person. When he was a boy, his family moved around. He's born in 1930. His family moved around quite a bit in the Depression, meaning he was always the new kid in class, and he was always tall and always a bit shy to make friends. And he's kept his own counsel in that way his whole life. He may be furiously angry, and it'll just show like in a little sort of twitch, just as he does on camera. But the person who's angered him will find out later that they've been fired or the locks have been changed. And I'm not making things up. Those are literally things that have happened.
Don't double cross Clint. And speaking of Locke, I remember Sandra Locke, his former partner. There was a huge palimony suit against Clint, right?
It was a palimony suit that was settled. But part of the settlement resulted in a fraud suit against Clint and Warner Brothers. Clint eventually wound up paying her because he had funneled money through Warner Brothers to give her a first look picture deal she wanted to direct. And Warner Brothers had no intention of honoring it, but they were basically laundering his money, and they got caught. And both Clint and the studio wound up settling with her for many millions of dollars.
What are you talking? 75, 100 million?
No, more in the neighborhood of combined about 20, but we're also talking 30 odd years ago.
Only 20 million, I mean.
Hey, it compounded from 30 years ago, doing quite well today, my friend.
I'm trying to think of his last tough guy role. Was it Gran Torino?
Yeah, he plays a racist neighbor in there. But, you know, whenever he's on screen, he's a tough guy. It's just that he's an old tough guy. So the mule and...
Oh, the mule was so good, where he was just
underrated.
Running drugs. Yes, I've seen that a few times. So good.
And he, you know, he's not physically tough. He's in, you know, about, what is he, about 88 when he plays that part. But he's mentally tough. He's tough enough to be fooling the DEA again and again, even when they question him. And, you know, he just bears himself. Even at 95, he walks with an erect posture. And, you know, you can tell, oh, this guy, he may not go to the gym every day anymore, but you can see that he spent a life in the gym.
Oh, yeah. I always think it's interesting when someone directs themselves. When Clint directs himself, how does that affect his performance? How does that affect the picture?
You know, I think he knows when he chooses a script how he's going to play the part. He's very smart about staying in his lane and recognizing this is what I can do. Here's a variation, but, you know, it's essentially still my sort of gig. And I think that makes it easier for him. And then he can focus on other performers. What's underrated about him is how many of his films have non-actors. In Gran Torino, for instance, those Cambodian kids, the neighbors, they had never acted in anything except home movies, and they're in half the picture. And he does that again and again with adults as well. So I think his kind of shyness and his love of jazz make it easy for him to instill a sense of play among people who might freeze up, you know, in front of a movie camera or run out of, you know, energy for multiple takes.
Right. That's interesting.
There's not the pressure of perfection because each take is going to have its own perfection. Because if you're in the moment, like that's the excitement of jazz, is that you're a unit that's creating something new and fresh in the moment. And now that you say that, I'm just viewing all of his work in such a different light.
Yeah, there's a wonderful anecdote in the book where Meryl Streep sees the first, you know, for the first time, the full cut of Bridges of Madison County. And afterwards she says, "You left all my mistakes in." And he said, "Yes, but they were human mistakes."
Right. Yeah.
Because we make mistakes all day long and movies try and erase that. And he thinks it's worth showing.
Sean, what was his first movie? How many years ago?
In 1954, he plays a lab assistant in the sequel to The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yeah.
It's so goofy. There's even a Mystery Science Theater episode about it. And they say, "Oh, look at that guy. He'll never work again."
Oh, my God.
Jeez,
that's
man.
So funny.
Every Which Way But Loose was a comedy. How many comedies did he do? And did people accept it? Him as a comedy.
Those movies were smash hits, the two orangutan movies. And, you know, there are comic elements in everything he does. You play that clip from Dirty Harry, and it's clearly not a comedy. Mm-mm. But that scene, the dialogue is comic. You know, you can picture Jim Carrey did Clint Eastwood imitations at the beginning of his career, and he would quote that stuff, and it was hilarious.
Right.
And there's comedy. Million Dollar Baby doesn't end like a comedy, but the interplay between Clint and Morgan Freeman, they're like an old married couple. It's hilarious.
Yes.
So he's made very few things that sort of in a video store might have been called comedies, but very few of his films are only dark. And, you know, they're really memorable. Tightrope and Mystic River.
Oh.
American Sniper. They're hard watches because they get at some really, really dark themes.
Yeah, I feel like when I think of his movies, I'm like, yes, I've watched that. But like you said, some of them are so dark, it's hard to go back to them because you're never like on a Sunday afternoon, like, let's go to a dark place again, even if it is like such quality.
Right. He's been doing this for over 70 years. The book is called Clint. Sean Levy, thanks for taking the time today, buddy.
Oh, thanks for your interest.
Go ahead. Make my day.
More of the Pete McMurray Show next.